Okay, so we're going to start. This is the order of worship. Everybody should have their hymn book. Anybody needs one, Paul can send it to them. Okay, thank you, Alice. And I'm going to let Emmanuel turn. You're in charge now. And Sister Louise will be doing the scripture reading. So let's turn to our opening reading, 238, which comes from Psalms 95. Number 238. Okay, so I will read the odd and you will read the even. 238. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. You will read number 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The time is coming. Worship in spirit and in truth. Emmanuel next. So, we are here to worship God with our voices, and we sing these three slides.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am
time.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful grace to us, for saving us into your family, even though we are unworthy. We want to worship you today with all our hearts, our voices, our minds, and everything that we say. Bless this time of worship together. Send your word through your messenger, Pastor Leon, and reach us. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Church is going to sing together. We are
of the Father, we are joint heirs with the Son, we are children of His kingdom, we are family, we are one.
I'm supposed to read Romans 8, forgot, sorry. And this passage, I'm reading from Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So now you know this tune, we're going to sing this. The verses actually have a lot of different versions. So my family is going to sing the verses, but we'll do the chorus, We Are Heirs Together. One more time. We are
heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. Kingdom, we are family, we are one.
Okay, Peter.
We are washed, we are sanctified, we are cleansed by His blood, we are born of the Spirit, we are children of the Lord.
Okay, church.
We are heirs of the Father, we are joint heirs with the Son, we are children of His kingdom, we are family, we are one,
Hannah.
We are members of His body, we are objects of His holiness, we are citizens of heaven above.
Okay, everybody.
We are heirs of the Father, we are joint heirs with the Son, we are children of His kingdom, we are family.
shall reign with him forever. Men and angels shout and sing, for dominion has been given to the family of the King. Everybody, we are heirs of the Father. We are joiners with the Son. We are children of His kingdom. We are family. One more time.
We are one.
We are heirs.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joiners with the Son. We are children of His kingdom. We are family.
We are one. Last line.
We are family.
We are one. Please turn to 429. 429. And we, I think we sang this again the last time when Pastor John was preaching to us on this passage of in John, and it comes from this verse in chapter 13, 35. So that everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another.
Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
We will walk with each other.
We will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Men, we will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side, and we'll guard each man's dignity and save each one together. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Ladies.
Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one.
Together. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Louis,
now it's Louis Emmanuel. Thank you.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the word of God.
And this is the passage, and we cannot not sing this song. So we've done this last time, and we'll sing this again.
A new commandment I give.
I have loved you, by this shall all know that you are my disciples.
Matthew, for this very thoughtful worship in line with our theme that we're exploring. Today, of course, we are beginning our new series. It's a 3-week series that will take us through January called Going Farther. Taking that acronym that we introduced 2 years ago, F-A-R, Father, and also our theme for the church that we introduced 2 years ago. What's the theme for the church? To be salt and light for Jesus. So if you recall, 2 years ago when this vision, this theme was first introduced, we said that there are certain values that we must share as a church, which we encapsulated in this acronym F-A-R. You know, if you want to be a church that is salt and light for Jesus, need to have these values. F, be a family of love for one another. A, be an army that's committed to the mission. And R, to be a refuge, you know, a hope for the world. We introduce these values and we said this as well. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, F-A-R, then we must go together. So by God's grace, you know, we give thanks to God that we've been progressing. You know, I think we've seen some progress in this vision that we cast 2 years ago, becoming salt and light for Jesus, you know, reaching out to our friends, our family, and the community as well. We praise God for that. And now as we enter our second year in this vision, we want to go farther with our progress, farther as salt and light. But we must go together. And so this is what our series is about. You know, we will be looking intentionally at these values again, the values that we must share as a church, that will shape us how we want to be salt and light for Jesus, uniquely as praise. This will help us, hopefully, to answer the question. And so this week, we will be looking at the first. We need to be a family. But let us prepare our hearts. Let us pray first. Father, we give you thanks for your word and all your promises to us, Lord, for your great purpose that you've purposed us with, the calling that you have for us as a church to be salt and light for you. It's a wonderful privilege that we don't want to take for granted. We give you thanks for all the progress that we have seen through your Spirit and through your guidance, Lord. This is our aspiration that we make to you as our prayer. Lord, this is what we want to become, salt and light for you. And Lord, now as we avail ourselves, Lord, we avail ourselves first by the hearing of your word, by the taking your word into our hearts, Lord, to renew our minds and to transform our hearts, Lord. That in everything that we do, in how we will live, you know, we want to live with the values that you've given us, live out your calling the way that you want us to, so that we will be so clearly, so powerfully salt and light for you. So Lord, you know, we come with faith to hear you, to hear your voice today, your word. And we believe that, Lord, as we avail ourselves to you, our lives, that we will be amazed by what you can do in each and of us. And together, amazed by what you can do with our church. So we ask this with full faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to begin with a story, a little bit inspired. So a little young, inspired by, we're talking about family, inspired by one of our family here. So it's about this little young girl who went with her family on a trip to Europe. So let's call her Renee. Inspired because, you know, I'm thinking like of Europe and, you know, little girl. But it's a fictitious story for illustration. So this little girl, Renee, went on a trip to Europe with her family. And on the trip, she visited some of the great cathedrals of old. And this is an actual picture from Jenny, but a fictitious story again for illustration of Renee. And so as Renee, she entered each cathedral, she was amazed at all these massive stained glass portraits that were on each of the windows of the disciples, the apostles, and the great Christian figures from long ago. So she stood there in all these great halls in the cathedrals, just admiring all these beautifully crafted stained glass windows. And so then she enjoyed these amazing sights in Europe, in these cathedrals, the stained glass windows. And then she came back home right here to the church. Then she went for her Sunday school class. You know, the teacher, let's call her Auntie Gretel. Again, fictitious story for illustration. So Auntie Gretel, you know how Auntie Gretel is. She likes to ask a lot of questions. She's inquisitive. And so she asked this little girl, Renee, you know, about all these churches in Europe that she liked, you know, and what did she like most about the churches in Europe? And so Renee remembered the stained glass windows, you know, how they brought an awesome, a sense of awesomeness of God, and how the light, you know, illuminated, shone through these images of the glass, illuminated the pictures on these stained glass windows, and they shone brightly and lit up the whole halls of the church. And then later on in the lesson, when Aunt Gretel was teaching, then she asked the question, what is a Christian? And so Renee's mind went back to that same picture that was etched now in her memory of all these beautiful stained glass windows. And so Renee answered like a lawyer, a Christian is someone the light shines through. And that is all that God is calling us to be today. To be like the stained glass windows, allowing God's light to shine through beautifully. And when the light shines through, then we see the wonderful pictures that were carved on this glass. Pictures of all these, the pictures of Christ, pictures of the stories of the gospel that's carved on each panel. Likewise, in our scripture reading today, you know, we see Jesus told us that one of the clearest and most powerful ways that the light shines through is if we have love for one another. And people see that picture of the gospel, that picture of Jesus Christ. we have love for one another. Now, this is one of the many one another passages in the Bible. You know, there are so many, there are too many to list and to go into, but you know, love one another is one. You know, to quickly give some more examples, you know, there's 1 Thessalonians 5 that says to edify one another, Romans 15 that says even admonish one another, Galatians 6 says to bear one another's burdens, James 5:16 tells us to confess our sins to one another, to pray for one another, and so on and so on. You know, this is just a fraction of all the many one another verses. Similarly, you know, when we are talking about being a family, there are many things that we can say about what it means for us as a church to be a family. You know, in fact, we had a whole camp about that recently, right? 2 years ago in Malacca. So out of all these one another passages and the many things that we can say about being a family of God, I just want to leave us with just one big idea that will sum up our focus as we talk about being a family today, and I want to call it one another ability together. And yes, it's a made up word, you know, I made this up to help us to encapsulate this idea. It's the idea of that we live as one another together, living as one another together, you know, practicing one another together, simply that in everything we are thinking one another together. So it means that if I'm a part of the church, that I no longer think of myself as just one, but I think of myself as one and others. So one another. Yeah, Emmanuel gets it. One another together. So that idea to be now in the forefront of our minds all the time, to keep it, church is one another together. A family, we want to be a family at Praise. What does it mean? It means that I'm not just one, I'm one and others together always. So it means that I think of myself as a member of the body of Christ. I think of myself as, yes, I'm one part of a body, but just like a body, you know, that one part is inseparably connected to another part, and 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 all these parts together make the one body. But we need each and every part, and they don't stand by themselves, and they don't function by themselves, and the body together is all these parts, one part connected to another together to make up the one body. And this is my desire for the church. That when something happens, you know, just like the nerves go to the rest of the body, when something happens, that we feel it together as one another together, and that we then pray for one another together. And when we move, that we move as one another together, that the nerves send the impulse, the signal, then the blood pumps, the muscles activate, and each part mobilizes one another, and together then the one body comes alive and moves as one. That's my prayer for this church. And so with that, you know, I'd like to give us particularly, you know, three one another abilities together that will help us live out being a family with one another together. The first is this. The first one another ability together is that love one another. The reason is because together we have the same one Father. And therefore, one another ability together means that we want to love one another like one family under one Father together. So the verse for this, Romans 12:10, tells us, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Let's break it down into two parts. Okay, so this verse, the first part of this verse tells us the why. So the word Paul that uses when he starts this verse for love is philostorgio, to love dearly with a sense of devotion, particularly like those who are closely related, like your own family, the kind of close family devotion and love. And then in the end of this sentence, love one another dearly, like closely related, with brotherly affection. The word Philadelphia in the Greek means the love between brothers and sisters, like a blood relation. So Paul is saying literally that the reality, this is what we are, related like blood, spiritually, brothers and sisters to one another in one family. Because together we have one father, one DNA that we share, you know, one blood in that sense, the blood of Jesus Christ that brings us to this body. So we are of the same blood type. So then we are to love one another with that close devotion, like your own family members, because that is what we are. And then the second part of this verse tells us then, he's told us the why, then he tells us how then also. How do we love one another? It says to outdo one another in showing honor. So we are to honor one another. The word honor means to value one another. So we recognize that each and every part of the body has its use, has its part. We can't do without it. We value each and every member of the church, even the littlest and the lowest. It's like a child that is worth to the Father. And so we treat them with the same worth that the Father sees in them. And in fact, to show honor to them, what Paul says here, what's the one another command here? It's to outdo one another in that showing of honor. And so the word outdo, actually, progomenoi in the Greek, it's actually very hard to translate. And so, you know, various translators, they try to give the sense of the word, but it can give these senses of to give preference to someone, you know, to prioritize them higher than myself. It can also mean to be eager or to excel in showing honor. So in regarding somebody that's higher than ourselves, you know, to be eager to do it, and then to try to excel in doing it. What this means for us, progomenoi, it means that, well, the reality is that sometimes, you know, family, even family, the closest families, have differences, as long as we are on this side of the earth. You know. And we may, in our own minds, you know, prefer, sometimes, if we could get rid of all these difficulties, get rid of the people that give us difficulties, and that we could choose and pick our family members. But of course, we know the reality. That's the reality of family. You can't choose, you can't pick. And all the more, actually, as Christians, all the more we can't pick. You know, we may think that, like, oh, we can't pick our blood relations, but, you know, family, I can pick. I can pick and choose. You know, they're not my blood relations, but all the more, actually, because the Father said, you know, you did not choose me, but I chose you to be my family. So we honor one another. We need to honor God's word as well. An interesting thing about our reading today, you know, it's not just we may focus on the world will know that you are my disciples, you have love for one another. But as Matthew brought out, you know, the first verse of it, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, not a suggestion, not a, you know. So someone said that, like, Christians, we don't have any rights. We only have duties from God. So this is why we need to honor first. We want to honor the word of God. We honor our Father and His choice, and that's why we honor others. So coming back to Progobnoi, so you know, give preference. Sometimes we could prefer that if we could pick and choose our family. But rather than the mindset that he's telling us to outdo one another in showing love, to give preference to one to show honor, to give priority, we want to have the mindset that we will give preference, give priority to striving to honor the family. That should be our first priority, the family that we have been given by God, rather than priority and preference to our own thinking, our own wants, because we are all members of one another together. It means that, you know, in a family, there's differences, where there's, you know, misunderstandings. Then if you hear something bad about someone, there's misunderstanding, miscommunication, we should give preference, give priority, prioritize higher to want to think better, to think higher, you know, to find out more, perhaps to clarify before we go and attack a character. And even perhaps sometimes, you know, after finding out, then we realize that, hey, oh, actually it is true. That perhaps, you know, the unfortunate reality is that sometimes people have really made a mistake, really have done wrong, or maybe they've even committed a sin. But then Progomenoi says we should then be eager to try to find a way of restoring the brother and sister, you know, who has made a mistake, who has maybe committed an offense or committed a sin, you know, if possible. Be eager for that than to be eager to want to kick out the people first immediately. And then progomenoi means that we also must learn to excel then in working towards finding a way to reconcile, to rebuild the fellowship that has been lost, that's been broken. To excel, because it takes work, it takes skill, it takes effort. It doesn't come naturally. Sometimes we'll make mistakes in doing that. Sometimes we won't be perfect, we won't be effective in doing that as well. So we need to learn to excel in doing these things. Excel together. So it's not always easy. In fact, it's not always possible even, you know, as Paul would say in this chapter, Romans 12, just a couple of verses down after he gives us this command. He says in Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, within your power to live peaceably with one another. It's not always possible, but still, you must give preference to that action, be eager to do it, learn to try to excel and strive to excel in it. If possible, within our power, whatever that is in our power, let us be eager to learn to excel in showing honor to one another. Second one another ability that we want to focus on is that we want to encourage one another. Because together we have the same one calling from the Father. And so one another ability together here means that we want to encourage one another to grow together in this same calling that we have from the Father. So Hebrews 10:24, you know, we often focus on the next verse, 10:25. It says, don't neglect the assembling together, the meeting up in church. But let's not forget this first part as well. Hebrews 10:24. It's equally important, and it says, let us consider how to stir up, to encourage one another, to love and good works. So this is why we talk about the mission and the values first when we start the year. We want to be intentional about us living out God's calling to, what this verse says, to love and good works. To love, which is the values, and to good works, which is the mission, the things that we will do. So mission and values are just tools that help us to hold one another accountable, to remind us, hey, you know, encourage one another. Don't grow weary in doing the works, but continue, press on to grow into what God has called us to do, into what God has called us to be. This is the kind of one another ability you want to cultivate. Five Guys, the burger restaurant, I'm gonna make you guys hungry. The restaurant chain Five Guys, you know, that's known around the world now, you know, it started as a small family business that was started by five guys, five brothers from the same family, actually, you know. They started as a small operation, first three guys, three brothers, and then the two brothers joined later. And then from there, in the 80s, they started, and then they've now expanded to over 2,000 outlets worldwide, including one in Singapore. Who's up for Five Guys? And this chain Five Guys that has expanded around the world, you know, the CEO of Five Guys was recently asked what he thought was the biggest threat to Five Guys. And his answer is that he thought that the biggest threat to our organization, to Five Guys, was this: forgetting the basics. Good burgers and fries. Good burgers and fries. So while, you know, we have these other chains, McDonald's and all, you think of like so many of all these other fast food chains, and they have such a wide variety, you know, a wider range of products than Five Guys. But Five Guys focuses simply only on their main foods. They stick to the basics, the essentials, burgers and fries. If you forget that, then, you know, that's the end of us. And even though, you know, there's some flexibility in their combos, you know, they allow like these different combos, they have some special innovations here and there, but by and large, they stick to the same core essentials. These are the essentials, don't forget them. Good burgers and fries. And so for us, you know, the factors and the circumstances may vary, but again, same, you know, at our core, I think, we have the same thing, certain essentials. Ever since Jesus founded the church, you know, from there, he founded the church with 12 guys. And when he commissioned them, and ever since their beginning in the New Testament until now, you know, the blueprint of God is still the same, you know, that same strategy that they devoted themselves to love and to good works. You know, they devoted themselves to the word, to worship, to fellowship, to prayer, to witnessing. And then God caused the growth from 12 guys into a worldwide operation. But they didn't forget the essentials. Core essentials still say the same. Our spiritual good burgers and fries. Love and good works. And so it's my hope that as we build our one another ability, spurring one another on, let us grow together to be the church that God has called us to be, in unity of vision, in unity of heart. That if we go, you know, if we all go, that we would go one another together. And if we serve, that we would serve with one another together. And then when we celebrate, then we'll be able to celebrate one another together. Another burger place, you know, years ago, before it, I think it burned down once, and then later on it closed for good. But this is one of the places that was in Perth. So years ago, like about 20 over years ago, like if you ask the people in the know in Perth, you know, you ask them, where can I find the best burger in Perth? I think my mom will remember, like Daryl also, we used to go there. If you ask those people in the know, where can I find the best burger in Perth? They won't tell you that any of the biggest chains, the big names, or any of the fancy restaurants, but it'll be this place. It was a small outdoor kiosk, you know, no frills at all, you know, you can see hardly any place to sit. And it's somewhere way out in like, almost like a parking lot in Burswood. There's this place called Hamburger Hill. You find the best burger in Perth. And it closed down long ago. Yeah, it burned down once and then closed down for good. And in some ways, you know, it's same as like this, you know, it's not the big names, not the most fancy restaurants, but people in the know knew, Hamburger Hill. In some ways, I believe that, you know, praise, just like that little kiosk, that I do believe that, you know, we have what it takes. we have what it takes to make and to serve really good spiritual burgers and fries, you know, on par with some of the bigger joints as well. You know, and this is why, you know, every week our pastor, like Matt, strives, you know, to put my heart and soul into all these things, because it's my conviction that we may not be perfect, we may not be the biggest, but then it's my conviction that you don't get some of what we have here anywhere else. You know, I really believe that, you may not Michelin star, but I do strive to give you good burgers and fries each week. You know, I believe that really, if somebody wants to grow in the Word, somebody wants to know the Word, tell them, come and hear. You know, I think that you'll be fed spiritually, you know, you'll be fed with good food, spiritual food. You know, I think, and of course you'll be fed good food from Cindy and the others as well. Like, case in point this morning, Mee Siam, right? Oh, yes, yes. Even better, you see, like how, I said Cindy and others, right? Yeah, yeah. So you see, more than one as well, like, yeah, we've got good burgers and fries in more than one way, I believe. You know, on par with some of the bigger names and the bigger joints. So it's my burning desire, church, that we then, you know, we see this, we have this conviction, you know, we're going to be this hamburger hill, this hill to die on. Good burgers and fries. Don't forget the essentials. You know, we make good burgers, we make good fries, you know, and tell people, yes, we do have good burgers, good fries here. You want to know the Word? Come in here. You want to experience fellowship? Come on here. We've got these things. And so then it's my burning desire that then we don't lose heart. You know, we encourage one another, continue to stir up one another towards love and good works. Even as a small family, you know, even as this small family business, spiritual burger place, this burger kiosk, you know, to continue to strive, let us continue to put everything to make the best burgers and fries that we have, that God would be proud of. And we continue to stir one another up, to stir up the flame of God that is in each of us, to stir up our zeal for the Word and for good works and for the warmth of love to show others. And as we do that, we strive, we stir up one another, don't lose hope, we encourage one another, keep making the best burgers and fries that we can, and then God will cause the growth. Yes, amen. And even if he doesn't, hey, still, best burgers and fries to whoever that comes. And the third thing, the third one another ability that we want to build is that we want to support one another. Because together, we said we have the same Father, we have the same calling from the Father, and we have the same destination, that we are going home to that one Father in the end. So therefore, one another ability together in the church means that we want to support one another, want to support one another to hold firm until we reach that end, that destination, home to our Father, together. And isn't this part of our church covenant as well, our church statement that we'll be reading together again in the first week of February? You know, at the end, we say all the things that we want to do. Why? The reason is because for the glory of God, and to live these things out until Christ returns. It's a core of our church. But this is the big picture that we have in mind. And so Hebrews 3:13-14 tells us, exhort one another, to urge, to persuade, to basically support each other, to not give up, to not give in. He says, exhort one another every day, you know, as long as it's called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because if we have all come to share in Christ, we've all come to share in this same end goal that we're striving towards together, then he says, do this, exhort one another, so that we will hold on, you know, if indeed we hold on to our original confidence, firm, until we reach the end together. So what is our ultimate success as a church, as a family of God together? The ultimate success, it's not about performance, it's not about perfection, but it's about perseverance. Because the family of God is not a business venture. So when we think about the goals that we want to achieve, you know, we must have in mind the bigger perspective. So it's not just about the goals for this year. It's not just about 5 years. It's not just about 10 years. It's not even about the goals of the church, you know, building the church. But longer term, the ultimate goal for all the family of God is to faithfully persevere until we get home to our Father. And because the family of God is not a corporation that is ruled by KPIs, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't want to do excellent for God, you know, but in the end, we keep the right perspective that the ultimate excellence is about being faithful until the end. Because God said, I desire obedience, not sacrifice. It's not that we don't want to succeed as a church, you know, but all the other success is futile. It's no use if we don't keep this ultimate big picture success in our minds. To support one another so that everybody perseveres and nobody falls and we all reach the end together. So to paraphrase another verse, Jesus said, what is success if a Christian or if a church gains the whole world but we lose some souls? And another reason why we need to support one another is this. The truth is that life is tough. Life is tough, and the spiritual journey home is fraught with all sorts of danger. So sometimes some of us will actually face trials that will be beyond what we can even bear, you know. Next time I'll explain that verse some more. But beyond what we can bear, you know, and why is this so? It's because we were never designed to bear it all alone by ourselves, you know. And so actually, I think, even after we come to know Christ, God somehow in His sovereign wisdom, in His sovereign mercy, that He somehow knows better than us, that all His plans are for us to prosper, ultimately, God allows it to continue this way as long as we are on this side of heaven on earth. He does it out of His good purpose to train us that we need to depend on Him. We need to depend on one another together. And so then, if this is God's good purpose for us, then it means it's not something is wrong, it's not an anomaly. If it's part of God's purpose, that means the only way that we can fulfill the purpose that God has for us is that we need to support one another. We were made to support one another together as a family of God on this tough journey. Even I need you guys as well. Though I stand up here, you know, it's just amazing. Like, you know, we tune in and we see the news one after another. I think, you know, the latest one was this well-known author, many, many years and many, many best-selling books. And it just seems to be yet another in the line of leaders, pastors, Christians who are just like dropping like flies. What's going on? But yet, you know, we know that it's not an anomaly. It's a sad thing. It's a devastating, important thing, but it's not an anomaly. As long as we're on this side of heaven, life is fraught with all these things. We need one another. Sometimes, you know, Christians also, they fall, leaders fall even not because of sin, but because of various reasons, various challenges, various factors in life, mental health, the stresses, the unfortunate things that just happen. As we live in a fallen world, a broken world, until we reach home. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my family here in Praise. You know, I'm thankful that you guys are willing to hold me accountable. I'm thankful for you guys among the council, among the leaders, among you know, the older members who speak wisdom into my life, who watch out for me. You know, Praise, you know, you guys are not afraid to like call things out directly as well, to be straightforward, straight shooters. And also, you've encouraged like myself and Laureen in many ways, you know, just treating us as like normal Christians on the path as well. And I think this is the thing that we need one another as leaders in this church, you know, it's just Christians, various Christians together. We are all facing, God's word says, no temptation has befallen us that is not uncommon to men. We all face, we have the same destination, we're going on the same journey. We all face the same temptations and trials. So what does it mean as a family as well? When somebody goes through something, even if it's a sin or so, if we fall, we don't immediately judge and say like, oh, you know, like, what is this thing? Look at these guys and point them out like as if it's some circus freak. How dare they? But no temptation has befallen us. It's not uncommon to men. If it can happen to them, there for the grace of God go I. It could happen to me as well. It could happen to any one of us. That's why God's purpose is that we journey together, one another together, to support one another together, that one doesn't fall. That one and another. If one falls, you know, there's the link, the chain that pulls them. This is another reason why, a crucial reason why we need to mutually look out for one another, support one another, is this. The reality is that we have an enemy. We have an enemy that is always looking to disturb, to discourage, to defeat us any way that he can get a hold of. You know, he's always looking to take down our church. And though we know that in the end, you know, God has won the victory already, but till we reach home, the enemy is always desperately, aggressively, relentlessly looking for those that he can single out, that he can kill, that he can devour, to pick them off like a lion, one by one. The lion goes for the weakest and the most isolated. So one another ability together means that we must stand together, we must watch for one another, we must uphold one another and interlock our spiritual arms with one another together, so that no one may fall, so that no one without the others may be picked off and carried away by the enemy's mouth. So that one another interlocked, arm in arm, walking in lockstep, one another together, we all make it to the end home together. Must love one another, encourage one another, support one another till we make it home. And I'm going to close with this video. Watch what happened when the oil is poured into some Pyrex glass in this video. So look, the oil is being poured into the glass. Look at where the glass goes. Do you see it? What's happened there? So okay, let me explain scientifically first and then I'll explain spiritually. So what happened here scientifically is that normally when light passes through one, from one material to another, Maybe Peter need to help me out. Normally, when light passes from one material to another, it bends at the boundary between them. And the different materials causes the light to bend differently. So then it affects how we see things, you know, the difference, that contrast, then, you know, the light hits, it bends, then we see. We see because of the light, the objects. But in this case, the two materials, the oil and the Pyrex glass, share the same rate. When the light bends, it bends at the same amount when it's passing through these two particular materials of the oil and the Pyrex glass. And so then, the boundaries between them remain invisible, because you can't see any change in the direction of the light. Am I doing well, Peter? Peter knows. So that's what happens. The light passes through at the same rate. We began today's word, you know, at the start with that picture, with that thought, that as Christians, we're just like that glass at the start, the stained glass windows, that the light is meant to shine through. And we end with this picture of this other glass, that the light shines through. And this is the picture of peak one another ability together. You know, so let me explain spiritually what happens. When I saw this video last week, this was the picture that I saw. Each one of us is like the glass, you know, we are like a vessel of God, to be used of God for God's light to shine through us. And what does the oil symbolize in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. It is when we are filled full to the brim with the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing oil of God. He's the bond that unites us. You know, and although the individual glasses are still there, they still exist as individual vessels standing together. They don't disappear. They don't lose their individuality. They don't lose their shape. They don't lose their self. But when they are filled full with the Spirit, to the eyes of the watching world, they appear as one seamlessly. When the light shines through these vessels full of the Spirit, this is the picture that we want to be to the world. And then because of that, you know, you can't make out the difference. Then the light shines through purely and clearly and powerfully. And that is the word that we started with today, John 13:35. By this, the world will know clearly, powerfully, unobstructed by the human vessels, full of the Spirit, full of the love of God, if you have love for one another, then the light shines through purely to the watching world. This is the family God wants us to be. Peak one another ability together. This is the family that we want to be. A family of such one another ability together, with the Spirit's filling, that the light can shine through the most clearly and powerfully. Because Jesus promised this, by this all the world will know that you are my disciples. You have love for one another. He must increase, I must decrease, so that the light shines through. So may the Spirit fill us. We don't want to go through our mission and our values just by our own strength this year. It's a new year. We want to determine, yes, this mission, these values are helpful to keep us intentional, to keep us accountable. You know, it's in our minds. I'm going to print it out and put it up on the walls in our church so they can refer to it as a tool. But let us not forget, we do it by the Spirit's strength. He's the bond that bonds, that unites every single part connected to one another in the body. And he's the bond that fills us although the individual vessels still stand, but the light shines through. May the Spirit fill us this year. Help us to be a family of such one another ability together as one in the Spirit, loving one another as a family together, so that no one alone stands in fear of the Father, and encouraging one another to grow together, so that no one alone fails in the calling that the Father has given, and that we would support one another to persevere on together, so that no one alone falls from the journey reaching home. And so, the PCF reflection for your groups that I want to leave you all with this week or whenever that you're meeting again, something for you guys to think about, to discuss. Two things, you know, to discuss again as a recap. Let's review. You know, what does one another ability together mean to you? And I'm giving you guys this phrase, this idea, you know, so love one another, encourage one another, support one another. If you don't remember, you know, just think one another ability together, one another ability together. We keep thinking like this until we melt together by the power of the Spirit, like the glass and the oil. One another ability together. So discuss in your PCF, what does one another ability together mean to you? You know, why is it important for praise? You know, what does it mean for myself? Oh, what do I think about it now? And then the second thing is that, think in one way, you know, we like to start with resolutions for the year. What's one thing that you resolve to want to put into practice, you know? Can be even a small thing. Like we say, valuing one another, honoring one another. Maybe I want to, you know, when somebody says something, then I don't want to immediately react, like say to my spouse or whoever, like, you know, I want to, oops, no, I'm going to value this person, and then I'm going to think, I'm going to be more intentional about how I say it. Things like that, you know. Just one action, that one change, one thing that you want to resolve. What's one thing that I can put in practice? Or maybe for some, you know, you've been practicing already. What's something that I can put into practice a bit more this year and go a bit farther in trying to be family of God in the church? And then PCF leaders also, you can help me to, you know, like, let's hold one another accountable. You know, so then the PCF leader has this list, and then you can check in with one another. Okay, how are you putting into practice, you know, this thing you want to resolve this year? You know, state it out, share it with one another again. You know, we share with one another so we know one another. Okay, this is what you intend to do. Then you may even, you know, it's not about like judging and saying, like, why didn't you tick the box this week and all that. But it's about like, okay, you know, if we're not doing it, is there a difficulty in doing it? You know, why? Oh, I still need to overcome this. I still need to overcome. Would you pray with me? You know, and then would you check back again next week? You know, trying to put this into practice. And then your leader can give you some steps. Or one another, we can, you know, as you share one another, I can say, you know, what I did was this. Maybe you can try this, and that will help you to overcome this and put that into practice. So little things as we go along. Remember, you know, we are doing towards change. You know, we have this vision in mind, the ideal vision, who we want to be. There's things that we need to do to get there. There's the values that we want to embody. As you put these values into practice and the things that we do, then piece by piece, step by step, brick by brick, we will build ourselves towards this vision. Okay, so some things for your reflection. Let us close this time in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you first for your love towards us, Lord, because the only reason why we can live out this love, the only reason, you didn't just give us a command, Lord. You know, yes, we understand that it's our duty to love one another, but you didn't just give us a command. You gave us your Spirit to help us, and you also gave us your love, and you loved us first. And so we thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. But Lord, because you've loved us, we want to respond to your wonderful love with gratitude and live out the other part as well, Lord. We don't just want to stop as you loved us first, but because you loved, we love others as well. This is our prayer as one. This is our prayer as one another as a church, that we would love one another together, support one another together, encourage one another together, and that we will move as one family then, that we will fulfill the great purpose that you have for us at Praise. We give you thanks. You've heard our aspirations. You've heard our prayer. Lord, may you seal it to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we continue to worship God with our offering. Okay, next slide. I got it. I'm sorry. All right. Let's rise to sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Six, two, six. So I know that this hymn has meaningful to you, Auntie Siu Lien. So Hannah, Peter, and I, we're going to sing the first verse, and then we're going to get everyone to join us for the second and third. Ready? Are you ready? It's gonna work now. Let's go. Go.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Verse 2, everybody. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows for. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for Him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He keeps me by His power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me so, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Verse 3. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
So now we're going to go and pray and thank God for the things that have been shared. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, We thank you that we are your children, that you have saved us into your fold, and given us all the good things that you have created. We thank you for blessing us with Uncle Albert, and also that he has the opportunity to be this family with us. We thank you for Daniel and his
Gwen.
We pray that you would bless their marriage and as they, keep them close to you, and that can grow be a good witness and glorify your name. We thank you that you have brought helped Paul's aches and pains go away, and that he can come here and worship you today. We thank you for Auntie Julian's work in our church all these years, and encouraging us with this song that you have always been with, supporting her all the way, and we can cast all our cares on you. We pray for Alice's surgery, for the fibroid, that it will go smoothly, and for the people receiving the results, and in particular Emmanuel, to trust in you and seek your way forward. Thank you for this church. Help us to live our lives worthy to be called your children, to obey your commandments, to love one another with your love, so that the world will know that we belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We will end with this song before the announcements and benediction.
A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this
Leon. Thanks, Matthew. Okay, so the thing to take note would be that first week of February, the first Sunday, would be where we'll be having our first blessing walk of the year. So the occasion is Chinese New Year, of course, and so then we'll be going out again to bless our community with oranges. Yeah, so do take note, like, that'll be the first week, first Sunday of February, as usual again. I think that we'll be having lunch before that together, a family lunch, and then we'll go out as a family to bless our community. Then the other thing, again, I guess, we'll share with you again about the CNY outreach. It's looking like February the 8th, which is the next Sunday. So instead of the Saturday that we usually have, it's Sunday in the church. But of course, this one is an activity in the church. It's a bit more limited in the numbers that we can have. So primarily, it's like, you know, ask, like the health talk, ask your friends, your family, you know, invite them to come. And then as we're going out on the blessing walk, it's just whoever that may be interested, you can let them know. But the reason why we're going out is to, you know, Chinese New Year, you know, bless them, yeah, with the love of Christ. Then take note, church camp. Okay, so remember, we've crossed into the new year, so then it's coming very, very soon. How time flies. So make sure that you have marked out the dates, you know, and soon we will again be updating you all when that's when you can start registering, and you know, our big boss here will come and 跟你们算账. Okay, so then, church, let us rise for the benediction. Father, again, we give you thanks for the wonderful privilege it is to be called children of God, to experience your love, Lord. So pray for the church, for our brothers and sisters, as we seek to live out, to love one another in your house, in your body, and to extend your love to those outside as well, that all will see and know that you are our God. Father, I pray that it is through the power of the Spirit you empower my brothers and sisters, myself, as we seek to live this out, even this week. And now, church, may the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sweet fellowship and the bond and the power of the Holy Spirit keep you and be with you all through the week until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Service is dismissed, but do stick around for some fellowship behind.